Tommy, how you doing?
Greg's, I'm doing great. Nice to be here live with you on location. As I recall, this used to be my old stomping grounds, Rum Jungle. Sorry, buddy. There, is that better?
Yeah, that's it. Really? You know what? I don't know if I ever went to that bar.
You didn't come here to dance?
Might be one of the few in Edmonton I never went
As if you weren't here.
No, honestly, I've never been to Rum Jungle.
I had, like, swings from the ceiling.
Yeah, I'd heard about it. I just never been. Actually, you know what? That's not true. I went once when they had the Moria used to have their big party that they would host. That's the one time I was there. But I never went there on, like, on a normal weekend, no. I didn't, you know, as a Southside guy, I was like, man, that's a far drive.
It's a hike.
I did that when I was young. Once you got older, I was like, I can't make that drive now.
Well, and I mean, it was a whole thing, like the dress code, and if you weren't wearing the right shoes, they could turn you away, or if you were with the wrong crew, they could say, no, not tonight, boys. Oh. And
so did you ever get turned away?
I didn't. Oh, I was always ready. There. But I'll make a confession to you, and I'm not proud of this, but at 18, I was one of those guys that wore the sunglasses with, like, the see-through lenses. Yeah, it wasn't cool. I was right out of high school. It didn't last. We were made fun of mercilessly, and we were just like, what, are you jealous? Like, these glasses are sweet. And then we actually, my buddies and I all did it, and we looked at each other in the at the moment, and we're like, wow, we look stupid. This is ridiculous. Yeah. So we stopped that, but it was here at Rum Jungle Rum Jungle.
Oh, well, when you're 18, man, we all make decisions that we look back on in life that maybe weren't the best. So if that's the worst decision you made at 18, then you're winning.
No, I'm sure I made many.
That's the way I look at it. Edmonton Oilers. Dave Tippett, there's a lot to get through. You know, I don't even think we can get all through it in one segment. But, you know, he had a lot of things. You know, the McDavid one, we talked about it. People who are just joining us, we listened to McDavid and Tippett discuss what their plan is for him. They don't really know exactly, but, you know, preseason games, very unlikely if it's more than one. Although McDavid did hint at two today that he would like. So who knows? That's obviously still open for debate amongst the doctors and McDavid and stuff. For him, he's like, hey, I just want to play. I feel like I'm ready to go. He's been skating. You've seen him. I've seen him at the captain's skate. He looks fine. They're just being ultra cautious. There were some of the other things. You know, Dave Tippett admitted, hey, I've got like 10 guys we think we really got to see, and they're going to play a lot of games. And I think most of us could list those 10 or so type of forwards. On defense, I was interested when, because he kind of outlined, you know, certain spots, but we all know there's an opening right now for the second pair right defenseman. There's Oscar Klefbom, who's going to be his partner, because Larson's playing with Nurse. And Tippett, he didn't say there was one leading candidate there.
He didn't. And you and I talked about this on the Chronicles, even yesterday? But when Oscar Klefbom came to talk today, and I think you were just taken off to head here and do your show, he kind of tipped his hat.
That it was Pearson, right?
It's Pearson, yeah. So, and we kind of, you and I went back on and forth on this a little bit, and you're like, well, it doesn't necessarily need to be Joel Pearson because he's another Swede, and, you know, they've never played together before. They don't have a rapport. Then Oscar goes, yeah, another Swede, huh? So I'm looking forward to playing with him. Haven't played with him before. So maybe a slip of the tongue. But, I mean, tomorrow we get to see those first initial pairings. And it's interesting. And we talked about the dynamic of them. Does Oscar become more of the defensive anchor on that pairing? I would think naturally, yes. Does Pearson get the green light to run and be more offensive? Our initial instincts would say yes. So, because really, who would you throw there outside of Matt Benning? And I think that question came up to Tippett. I don't know if it was yesterday at the media golf thing.
Well, the only other options really are Bear, Lagesson, and Jones.
Right.
But you find guys who have been seasoned in the American League
for a
bit.
But those guys are fighting for a spot. Yeah. And I don't know if they're necessarily fighting for that second pairing because that's a prestigious position to play in, honestly. And would people or the coaching staff, more importantly, have the faith and trust in a guy that's essentially a rookie to be in that spot? Unlikely, right?
Yeah, no, very unlikely. And I think, and Dave Tippett was very quick, and I've seen this. Who starts with somebody on day one of training camp can a lot of times mean a whole lot of nothing. Now, some coaches I found over time, you know, with Todd McClellan, by year two or three, you kind of sense, okay, what he does here, that's usually a good indication. Dave Tippett admitted, hey, I've got some ideas in my head, but we got to see. Like Joel Pearson on paper, as Tippett says, hey, that looks great. We think, hey, guy moves the puck really well. Klefbom, maybe they play them with the McDavid line or the Nugent Hopkins line, thinking these guys can move the puck up. I get all the theories of
sure.
it. Now, does practicality match that? And can Joel Pearson defend? Because Dave Tippett hammered on it home again. goals against has to be reduced, right? And so Joel Pearson could be the best puck mover around, but if he can't defend in his own zone, because like when people always talk about, you know, puck possession, I'm like, well, let's look at the people that consider a great puck possession team are like, if you're 52%, that's good. Well, that means 48% of the time you still don't have it.
Right.
So you got to be a competent defender regardless of where you're playing, especially 5-on-5.
And this is the question I had in regard to Paris. Like, with him, I've only seen the footage. I've read a few translated Swedish articles. You know, we've got friends that work over in Sweden, and you ask them a few things, and they give you a bit of a scouting report. And then ultimately I said, okay, well, I'm going to watch to see if he's more Philip Larsson or more of a competent, smart, defensively puck moving offensive defenseman. And listen, this is lofty, but if where he lies, is he more like a Rafalski type? If he plays the same type of game, or he doesn't necessarily have to be overbearing physically, but he's just sound defensively and then chips in offensively, like a Rafalski, as an example, could do. Or if he's Philip Larsson 2.0. And that's the big question. Honestly, Griggs, we don't know. We haven't seen him. And tomorrow when we see him on the ice for the first time, I know everyone's juices are flowing. Everyone's excited. And we want to – it just feels like this week everyone's just excited. And you know, I didn't want to play Debbie Downer. And you asked me about the playoff thing. Like, we're all feeling that excitement of the new season starting. So on the ice tomorrow will be that first sign. But – how much can we read into it? I think it'll get some time to develop and come next week, which I'm happy about, is that the preseason gets going right away, and we'll see how those two handle things, in theory, if they're together on the ice in that first preseason game.
Yeah, that'll be the other interesting one. Like, usually, you're, like, the whole preseason game is often guy like Draisaitl will play here. Like, I remember last year McDavid didn't fly. He didn't go on a road game, right? Yeah. Now, this year he might have to because their last two games are on the road, although they could play him on the 24th and then just not play him on the road. Very possible.
Sure.
We'll see what happens. But usually, you know, that Monday night game, it's your home crowd. You're going to see probably maybe the top two defense pairings, right? You're going to see that probably, like, James Neal's playing in Edmonton on Monday night.
Right.
You know, he's the new guy.
Right.
You want to get ready. I'm curious who gets the start in goal. Right? Because you have the orders Monday, Wednesday, Thursday home games.
Yes.
Right? I honestly think that you could have, maybe it's Koskinen or Smith, maybe they each play a half a game on the Monday and neither one of them fly to Vancouver. That's my guess. And you'll have Shane Starrett and then one of the young kids, Skinner or Wells, in Vancouver.
Yep.
That would be my guess. And then after that, they'll, you know, the home guys will play Smith and Koskinen, because Tippett kind of hinted, hey, maybe they play, you know, 2.5 games each.
Right.
We'll kind of see what happens. But is there one player that you're most intrigued to watch? Like, is it Pearson or is it someone else? Because, like, we've all seen, like, I'm not talking order guys or even Tyler Benson, for instance, because we've seen him before. But is there a player that you will be watching closest in preseason?
My question mark is with, you know, we've talked about who's going to be the guy stepping up on the wings. I guess Zach Cassian would be one to see if he can continue to do what he did at the end of last season with Draisaitl and McDavid. But I want to watch Granlund. I want to see what Granlund is. And then I am watching the Euros that came over, Haas, and I'm watching Nygaard. And I don't have a good grasp on who those two are as players, how they're going to adapt. I know it's a drum that I keep beating, but those are guys I'll be watching. The one thing I misinterpreted with Haas, watching him in the captain skates over the last week or so, is I assumed he was bigger than he is. He's not an overbearing guy physically.
Yeah.
He's only 6 feet tall, which does not to take away from his size. You don't have to be a monster to be a nuisance on the ice and to be, I don't think pest is the right word, but Todd McClellan used the term get inside guys' equipment.
Sure.
You dig and you grind it out. And
Tenacious.
That's a good way to put it. So those two I'll be watching. And then Granlund, just to see where he fits in all of this. And he's the one that to me is most intriguing. Like, could he slide between the second and third line? Could he be a utility forward?
Yeah.
Is he here to take a spot on the top six? Most likely on the second line. That's the guy I'm going to keep an eye on.
Okay, so I'll let you play Dave Tippett for a moment.
Okay.
We're gonna ask all the listeners, so I'm very curious. Feel free to get involved at 10, 12, 60, or email us in our Jiffy Lube inbox, jgregor@tsn1260.ca. Tom Gazzola joining us. James Neal, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. We know they're playing together. So who gets the first crack on that other wing on that line? What's your guess?
I'll go with Granlund. I'll put him there.
Ooh.
I'll put him there.
Marcus Granlund. All right.
That's why I'm curious about him.
Okay.
Is he looking at this as a veteran player saying, there's my window of opportunity. I've been in this league. I know what it takes to play in that spot. I'm going to take it away from whoever else is challenging for it. I'm curious if he's going to do that.
Well, there's two trains of thought for me. You can go with, because that's a top six role, and you got to play players you think can score at the NHL level.
Right.
And Granlund's never really done that. He's a 30-point guy a few times, great,
sure.
But not top six guy. Doesn't mean he couldn't do it, but he wouldn't be my first choice, only because I want to see if Tyler Benson can handle just all of a sudden playing with top six forwards in
right.
the NHL. Because I think if Benson's here, now it doesn't mean he can't play on your third line. Lots of guys have worked their way up through the line of Sean Horkoff. Many others don't just start in the top six.
Tippett even pointed that out today when it was asked about Benson.
Yeah, he said he can play anywhere.
Right.
He doesn't have to play in your top six to stay here, so I wouldn't be opposed to it. But I'd like to see it, right? Because you kind of have to have a certain way to think the game for the most part to play in the top six. You got to know how to play off of the other skilled players. So he's one that I'd want to see there. And the other one is, are they going to reward Alex Chiasson, who had 22 goals last year? And I know 8 was on the power play, and Dave Tippett kind of tipped his hat, and Glenn Gulton. It sounds like, you know, Chiasson might be getting bumped from that first power play unit because James Neal's going to go
right.
there, right? On
right.
the net front presence to start anyway. So do they want to try Chiasson there, or do they say, no, we know what Chiasson is. Chiasson can give us some production from the third and fourth lines. So I'm leaning towards Benson, and the other major wild card is Nygaard because I've never seen him.
Yeah.
And speed, score 20 goals in the Swedish Elite League. You know, if you're a believer in the NHLE numbers, you know, they're ranking, and this is a guy who could score maybe 18 goals in NHL. Like, well, that's right now, that's kind of a six forward on a
correct.
Lot of teams. So
correct.
Nygaard and Benson. And if I have to roll the dice, I might go Nygaard now. I've talked myself into it because he's the older professional, and they want to see it. Doesn't mean he starts, stays
right.
there, but I wonder if they just say, here, you know, because I'm not sure there's one guy that I'm like, well, he is the guy you should give it to. Like Zach Kassian, based on how he finished the year, it makes sense to have him start camp with McDavid and Draisaitl if they're a trio.
And they've made it perfectly clear. We're going to see that.
Yeah, sure.
Right. So they've taken the guesswork out of that.
After that, it's wide open. I'm going to take Nygaard. I'm curious what our listeners would do at 10, 12, 60. Who would be your choice to start, not finish? Start. Because finish, honestly, we can all make predictions. I don't know if any of us will be very accurate on that because I think it's wide open.
Hey, we could see Jujhar Khaira playing on that wing. We could see Sam Gagner sliding up if he gets onto a hot streak. You know?
Yeah, he's that, the one. Yeah.
What is he anymore? That's the question I
think
I have.
Sam is a really, like, he scored 5 goals in 25 games for the
right.
Oilers last season. That's excellent production. And Sam Gagner, I think, is somebody who's on your second unit power play, and he's going to float around on I think he's either on your second line or he's on your third line. I don't see him on that, and third line's the wrong term. He's on that smaller skilled line.
Yep.
I don't see him on the heavy line that Dave Tippett would like, you know, which is likely going to be centered by Shahan. Probably starts with Kara, and it might even be Chiasson. Like, that might be the trio that they look and say, you know what, we want these guys to chip in, but we want them to be
heavy.
A heavy line that can also create zone time offensively, cycle the puck down low, wear down the opposition.
Right. I suppose, heading into this camp, that looking at the bottom 9 forwards, there's a lot, outside of Nugent Hopkins, there's a lot of moving pieces or a lot of options. And I think that's a good another one of those good problems to have. But you're right. Are we classifying it officially as a media conglomerate here as no 3-4 line, but the big line and the speedy line? Is that where we're going? Because
Well, that's just, you know, Dave Tippett was the one who said, I see it as a bottom six in different role. But obviously, when you eventually I think people are still going to call it your third line because they're going to look at production. But
sure.
They're going to have very different roles. And that doesn't mean that your third line, you know, your fourth line is any less important. But if one's job is to not get scored on, to play harder minutes and eliminate goals, where the other line is looked upon to produce offense, so that line's probably going to score more. So some people will say automatically, well, that's your third line. But in importance to a coach, as I've learned in my article for Kyle Brodziak and even from teammates, it's not always viewed that way in the room and from coaches, right? Like, you can be a vital, important part of your team and not be a huge production guy offensively.
We've seen that here many times. I'll Matt Hendricks was that guy. He was important. His production was minimal. But, yeah, those glue guys. And you know, he's a lightning rod a little bit whenever you say Hendricks around here because of what happened in the fallout when he left. And that's a guy I see in that light as well.
Okay.
As an example.
We've already got people. Gregor, it's got to be Nygaard. Then it's the triple N line. We just need a name for a line. Some people love the name of lines. I don't mind it. I have no problem with it.
Yep.
When it's a good one that fits, it's fantastic. The triple N line is pretty simple, right? If you're a wrestling guy, you're all over that. It makes perfect sense, Triple H to Triple N, right? Yeah. Nugent Hopkins, Neil Nygaard. It's simple. It rolls off the tongue. It's easy. You're like, okay, I can get on board with that one. So we'll see. Quickly, what do you think about tonight? I know you're getting into fantasy. How was your first week in fantasy football?
Okay, well, yeah, my glorious return of fantasy. I was taking on Matthew Iwanek, who is quite the fantasy football player. He obviously runs that CFL fantasy league. I wanted to say draft. He does everything in that, the Dunia, they call it. He crushed me. He had 180 points. I had 160. I think the next closest was, looking around the league, at like 140 points.
So you finished with the second most points but lost.
Exactly.
It all came
on Monday night.
It's the only unfortunate part. But that's why you should always have parts of rules that have most points in the league, because sometimes you get a week like that. So,
well, I'll tell you what. I need Mike Evans to be good tonight. And I need O.J. Howard to be good tonight.
Wow, you got the tight end and the receiver.
Yeah, I know.
That's a risky play. Risky play, but I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all.
Hey, like I said, I'm being completely honest with this. I'm coming back into fantasy football. It's been a while since I've been here.
Well, go in one of Strudz's leagues if you want to build your confidence. Or one of Nilsson's. They play with a bunch of guys who don't know anything, and then they brag about winning. It's like winning the Hungarian league of fantasy football.
That's an interesting way to put it. Yeah. And I don't think Strutty heard you, even though he's right there.
Oh, yeah, he's right there. Oh, trust me. Those satellites connected to his head, they can hear everything.
Oh, he's smiling now. Yeah, good one.
Tommy, thanks for coming down. We'll see. We will chat with you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Greg.